What is repentance anyway? And how does it fit into salvation and the daily life of Christians? If you've ever had that question, then today's episode is going to really help you grow. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus, a program that is aimed at helping you understand what the Bible has to say to you today. Well, I'm excited, elated, overjoyed, whichever word you want to use, to tell you that we are beginning a new series today. You tuned in on the right day because this series has the potential to change your life. This series is called The Power of Repentance, and it's based on a book by Dr. Bob Wilkin. I'm pretty sure you're going to want to get your hands on a copy of this book, and I'm going to come back at the end of the program and tell you how to do exactly that. Until then, though, let's jump right into the discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
We are starting a new series based on a book that, Bob, you've written. It's called The Power of Repentance. Basically, we want to be biblicists. We want to check every single belief that we have and every single practice that we have against the Bible, and we want to be willing to hear what the Bible has to say and then correct thinking, our speaking, or our action based on what the Bible says.
That's exactly right. My own personal experience concerning repentance, I think, illustrates this well. When I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, I wrote my doctoral dissertation on the subject of repentance and salvation in the New Testament. And I argued that repentance is a condition for being saved, for being born again in the New Testament, but that repentance means, basically, it's a synonym for believing, changing your mind about Christ. And that was 1983 to 1985. Around 1990, I was confronted by a friend of mine who wrote a book arguing that repentance was not a condition of salvation at all. In fact, he was my advisor on my dissertation. And I wasn't won over immediately. It took about 7 years.
What book was that?
That was a book called Harmony with God.
All right, and that's
by Zane Hodges. Well, first, it was not that book. First, it was the book called Absolutely Free by Zane Hodges, A Biblical Reply to Lordship Salvation, and it had a chapter, I believe it was chapter 12, on repentance. But then he wrote a series of articles which became another book called Harmony with God.
And both of those books are available at our website,
right,
faithalone.org, in the store. They're also available on Amazon.
This book I'm doing, The Power of Repentance, is something which will be a complement to Harmony with God. My pilgrimage there was, after about 7 years, I came to the conclusion repentance is not a condition of regeneration or justification or salvation from eternal condemnation anywhere.
It's a condition of something, though.
It's a condition of something.
But it's just not a condition of being born again.
Right. I ultimately, over those 7 years, became convinced that what repentance is, it's always a decision to turn from our sins. I wrote this book almost 35 years now after I finished my dissertation, and the reason I waited so long is because it's a very tricky subject. It's difficult to write on.
Right.
But I felt like I was ready, and I've been encouraged by the results.
Well, I'm a Baptist, and you were part of a crew at,
right,
Campus Crusade, and the way I was taught to evangelize is, you just say repent and believe, repent and believe. And repentance kind of just takes on this life all of its own in Christianese or Baptistese or evangelicalese language that doesn't necessarily reflect what the Bible has to say about repentance. Now, the Bible teaches about repentance. You're not denying that.
Right.
And Jesus preached repentance, and you're not denying that.
Right.
What you're saying is, wait a second, let's just check our traditions and what we've inherited against what the Bible actually says about repentance.
Yeah, and I can't tell you, Sean, and I'm sure you've heard this too, how many preachers I've heard who have said, justification is by faith alone. Let me emphasize, alone. It's by faith alone, apart from works. And then in their very next sentence, they say, so if you repent of your sins and believe
right,
in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved.
Right. So there's some cognitive dissonance there, right?
Right. And they'll even quote verses, like they'll quote Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And then they say, so repent and believe and you'll be saved. But Acts 16:31 doesn't mention repentance. Or they'll quote John 3:16, but it doesn't mention repentance.
Right.
Or John 5:24, it doesn't mention repentance.
Right.
Ephesians 2:8 and 9 doesn't mention repentance. Whatever the passages they quote don't mention repentance. But like you say, it's become so widely accepted and it's taken on a life of its own that people hardly ever object.
Right, and I've read many spiritual writers and theologians through church history who would say something like this: the whole of the Christian life is a life lived in repentance. It's like that's supposed to characterize every moment of every day for the Christian. And there's no verse that says that. You know, there's no verse that says the whole of a Christian life is supposed to be one of repentance. That's just a tradition that grows up. And it needs to be checked against the Bible. And that's another thing that you look at. We're going to get into this as the series goes on. Repentance does have a role to play in the Christian life, but probably not what most people think.
Right. We go through, and in future episodes of this program, we will go over repentance in church history, repentance in the Old Testament, the meaning of the words for repentance in the New Testament. And then we'll go through 10 passages which seem to teach that repentance is a condition for everlasting life, and we'll show that they're not. But then after that, we'll also go through some ideas related to that. For example, I would suggest that repentance is not for the believer in fellowship with God. It's for the believer who has strayed, for the believer who has left fellowship with God behind, and like the prodigal son, has gone to the spiritual far country.
We're going to have to unpack that, because what you just said there is very, people might not get it, and we're going to have to unpack that in future episodes.
Well, we'll go into that later, yeah.
It'll make sense, though. It's going to make a lot of sense. Well, okay, let's ask this question. What does it matter if someone is confused about repentance? What difference does it make?
Okay, there's multiple factors on why it makes a difference. First of all, let's say a person comes to faith in Christ by simply believing in him, apart from works, apart from repentance, apart from anything. But then later on, they become convinced that repentance is a condition for everlasting life. Well, this may cause them to doubt their salvation, because they may say, well, I don't remember repenting.
I fulfilled the one condition, but I don't know if I fulfilled the second condition.
Right.
Maybe this isn't real. Maybe
right.
I'm not really saved.
So then they start thinking, well, but I have repented, so maybe it's okay that I did the repentance after the believing, and it gets confusing. And of course, if you think repentance is a condition for everlasting life, aren't you going to tell your children that?
Right.
And aren't you going to tell your friends and anybody you witness to? And so as a result, if that's really not a condition of everlasting life, you're confusing people.
Right.
You may even be keeping them from being born again. Because in my opinion, if a person thinks they're born again by turning from their sins and by believing in Christ, then they don't believe they're born again simply by faith in Christ. And they ultimately don't believe John 3:16 is true. They think it has to be supplemented.
Right. Well, something even more basically, if you're an evangelist or you're a preacher, or you're a pastor, and you're trying to evangelize someone, and you're telling them, well, you need to repent and believe in order to be saved, and you're not really sure what repentance is, that means the people you're evangelizing aren't going to be sure what repentance is. Is it a change of mind? Is it like a change in your emotions? Is it a decision to do something? Is it a change in behavior? Some people are evangelizing just throwing out these words without really understanding even what they're saying. And if you don't, if there's a fog in the pew, there's a, what is it? If there's a mist in the pew, there's a fog in the pulpit.
No, a mist in the pulpit.
Sean, keep working on that one. I'm going to work on that illustration. But we need to define our terms. And that's one of the things that you do in this book.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if you're clear, if you define your terms, you can make the way of salvation clear to someone. But if you're not clear, if you're confused, you're going to make everyone confused, just the way I was a second ago.
Right, yeah, right. Well, you know, the thing is, in my opinion, one of the reasons why a lot of people are having a hard time sharing their faith is they're not really sure what they believe. They're really not sure what you need to do to be born again. Is it believing? Is it commitment? Is it surrender? Is it turning from sins? Is it promising to serve God?
Is it feeling something? Have I felt enough remorse?
Right.
Have I felt enough sorrow? Have I have I repented from all my sins or just some of my sins? Or
right.
Have I done it just for today or forever? Is it a once for all thing or a daily thing? Or what if I stop repenting? What happens then? What's going to, you know, will I lose my salvation? Will I? There's all kinds of questions people might have.
Right. Ultimately, it takes them away from the simple truth that if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life, we won't come into judgment, we will not perish, we will not die, we will not hunger, we will not thirst, we are secure forever, simply by believing in Jesus for what he promises, this eternal life with him.
But we're not trying to denigrate repentance here. We're trying to elevate repentance to its proper biblical place. You're trying to explain the power of repentance because repentance is powerful.
Repentance is very powerful, and it's a good thing that God gives us the opportunity to repent, because if he didn't, then the first time a believer strayed from the Lord, departed from the fellowship with God, he'd be dead.
Right.
Boom. And so we wouldn't have believers who were away from the Lord for 6 months or a year and then came back, because after they were gone for a few hours or days, they'd be dead. But God in his grace gives us the opportunity to come back to him, to repent. That's not how we're born again, and that's not how the believer keeps everlasting life. Jesus keeps it for us and he guarantees it, but repentance is the way in which we can get back to fellowship with God if we've strayed.
Well, the power of repentance is available in our bookstore at faithalone.org/store. It's also available on amazon.com. And we even have a preview of the book, a free ebook, also at our webpage, faithalone.org, so you can get a taste of where Bob is going with his argument about the power of repentance. Go check that out now.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for that great discussion about repentance. Well, this is just the beginning, right? This is a series to come, and they gave us a great overview. And I want to cover some of the books that Dr. Bob Wilkin mentioned in the discussion. He mentioned his book, The Power of Repentance, which is a great book that you can get at our website, faithalone.org. But he also mentioned two other books. These two books were both by Zane Hodges. One is called Harmony with God, and the other is called Absolutely Free. Both of these books are available as well on our website. Speaking of our website, we have all kinds of free resources waiting for you at faithalone.org. I hope you'll come join us and see what we have there for you. In addition to our bookstore, which is where you can find the books we've been talking about, we also have a free subscription to our print magazine. It's a beautifully full-color, well-laid-out magazine that will show up in your mailbox. All you have to do is subscribe. We also have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, event details. You can even become a financial partner right there on the website. All of this and more at faithalone.org. Finally, if you want to reach out to us, we'd love to hear from you. If you've got questions, comments, or remarks, please send us a note, radio@faithalone.org. That's our email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to jump into our second episode of the series called The Power of Repentance. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.